Okay, let's go on with the ion optics. And we shall look at the general solution of trajectory equations in the terms of so-called principal trajectories. And in a general case, the bending strength 1 over rho and also the focusing strength is small k, they are functions of S. So they vary along the reference orbit. And then the equation here, these here are not constant. So they depend on S, and we are taking the derivatives with respect to S. And it's like we have here the spring constant while we have a harmonic oscillator, but now since this is depending on S, so we have a we can say that the spring constant varies with time or here to be with S because we are moving in the position domain. And then the equation is called the Hill equation. And now here this Y, it's a general transverse coordinate, it's either X or Z. And rho is non-infinite, so it's finite only in the bending plane. And in the other plane where we are not bending, there rho is infinite, so 1 over rho is 0. And the solution of this Hill equation can be written like this. So it's like like the harmonic oscillator, but there the C's and S's are not depending on the variable small s here, because we are differentiating with respect to S. And then we have this dispersion part here, which is connected to the momentum deviation. And what it says here that the position at S can be written as a sum of this here, which is the position at position zero. So we are going from zero to S, and then this C, which is function of S, and plus the direction Y prime dy ds. So that's actually the tangent of the angle times this sine-like function capital S, plus then the dispersion, which is the deviation of the orbit from the reference orbit when we have some deviation in the momentum with respect to the reference particle momentum. And then taking the derivatives with respect to S, we get Y prime here. So Y prime is Y zero times this C prime plus Y zero prime times S prime. And then also the D prime. So we must take the derivative of dispersion with respect to S times the momentum deviation. And the C and S, they are two independent solutions of the homogeneous equation where on the right side we have zero here, if this is zero. And the initial conditions, of course, are such that C zero, so C at zero must be one, because this here is Y zero there. And then this must be zero. And then also here, Y prime at zero must be exactly this. So this must be one, and then this is zero. So So these are the initial conditions for this cosine-like and sine-like functions C and S and their derivatives. And this dispersion D, it's a particular solution of the inhomogeneous equation, so where we have something on the right-hand side, and there for delta P upon P of P0 equals to 1. And these are the initial conditions. So in the beginning, we don't have any dispersion, and then it evolves so that it gets some contribution from places where we have bending, because the bending radius depends on momentum. And these C, S, and D, they are called principal trajectories. And C is the cosine-like, S is the sine-like, and D is the dispersion. And we can write the solution in matrix form. So y prime at S is this matrix here, C, S, C prime, S prime, times this vector y and y prime at zero, plus the dispersion term, delta p upon p times d plus and then d prime. Okay. Or we can, of course, put these together, so then we have here zeros. So we have here this matrix here, and then dd prime, and of course delta p doesn't change in our system. And now we are not accelerating the particles. And this is called a transformation matrix. So we start from initial coordinates y and y prime, and then delta p upon p, this doesn't change. And then this transforms these coordinates to y and y prime at s, this delta p upon p doesn't change. And now let's take the determinant of the transformation matrix. It's independent of S and Y. We take a determinant, which is C S prime minus S C prime. And now if we take a derivative of this with respect to S, and if that is zero, then this holds. So the determinant of the matrix is independent of S. So we take a derivative with respect to S, like here. So we get C prime S prime plus C S prime prime minus S prime C prime minus S C prime prime from here. And C prime S prime is the same as S prime C prime. So they cancel. But and since C and S are solutions of the Hilts equation, so then C prime prime is KC and S prime prime is KS. And we put them here, these prime primes, and we get this. And then we have minus K times CS times CS minus SC. So this is zero. So this is zero, which means that the determinant is independent of S, of the position. So it stays constant. It's a very important property. We will come to that. Starting from the initial conditions, we see immediately here that determinant is 1. And it's always 1. Namely, now this transformation matrix, or this here, they transform the beam. Now we are talking at all the particles. We start all the possible particles in the beginning, which have their own y and y primes, and then they occupy an area in the phase space. So the area is also mostly transformed using this transfer matrix. And from linear algebra, we know that the area scales when we go from point zero to point S with this linear transfer matrix. Then the area occupied by all the particles here, the area is multiplied by the determinant of this here. But the determinant is one. And then it means that the area occupied by the particle beam, which is the emittance, as you remember, the emittance stays constant. And now here, remember that we are not accelerating the particles. The energy is constant. And that's so-called Liouville's theorem. We come back to that for several times. And this is, by the way, a good check for numerical checks. So if you create a transfer matrix for an optical system which is linear, then you can check that whether it holds. So if the determinant is something else than one, then it violates the Liouville's theorem. Of course, there are some cases where the emittance can grow, and that is, for example, scattering. So if the particle goes through, let's say, some residual gas, so if at some point in the beam line there is a higher pressure, or the beam goes through a foil, then the area increases. Okay, what about dispersion? The dispersion can be expressed in terms of C and S in this way. I'm not going to the details here, but we just use this. So S times the integral C divided by rho from 0 to S minus C times the integral of C divided by rho. And then this gives the dispersion. And now here we take the first derivative and the second derivative, and remembering that D is also a solution, then finally we get this here. So here we have the determinant of the transfer matrix, which is one. So that's why we have here only one over rho. Okay. Okay, let's, you know, we can check that this is really, really so, that d prime is minus kd plus rho. I just put it in the equation, Hill's equation, and what we get zero is zero, so it holds. And with these equations we can calculate the dispersion, for example, of a dipole very easily. Which means that we get a trajectory for particles that have a different momentum than the reference particles. So we start originally on the optical axis, and then we come to an area where we are bending. And those particles that have different momentum, they are bent at two different angles. Take an example that the magnetic field is constant along the trajectory, and we take a hard edge model so that the magnetic field starts and ends abruptly. So it's suddenly from zero to B, and then from B to zero. And here we have the Hill's equation, And this capital K is here vertically just a small k, which is practically the gradient. And in the horizontal plane where we have the bending, then we have minus k minus 1 over rho. So here we have also the bending part. So this elastic constant, the spring constant, is really constant. So we have just a harmonic oscillator, which has a frequency square root of k. So the angle is s times square root of k, because now we are moving in position domain, not in time domain. So the solution is simply this. So we have the harmonic oscillator. So C, S, C prime, S prime is this. So cosine phi, S divided by phi, sine phi, and here minus phi over S, sine phi and cos phi. You can just check that the determinant is 1, cosine squared, and here we have plus sine squared, because these, when you multiply this, they give 1. And this is what happens when this capital K is larger than zero, so it's positive. If it is zero, then we have simply 1s01. And if it's negative, then we have a hyperbolic cosine and a hyperbolic sine here. And again here, the determinant is 1. So this is focusing, this is defocusing, and this is just a drift, which means that there are no forces, focusing forces. And the dispersion calculated from here, we finally get 1 over rho k times 1 minus cosine phi. Remember, the phi is this small s times square root of k, this capital K. Okay. And if the k is negative, then we get the hyperbolic sines and cosines here. And then this is the dispersion and its derivative. So this dispersion is a trajectory of a particle which has delta p upon p 1. And then it goes through dipole fields, and then it's non-zero. Again, numerical example. Take a homogeneous field, which means that small k, the gradient is zero, and this in x direction, this capital K is just 1 over rho squared. Putting that in, we have dispersion 1 over rho k times 1 minus cosine phi. It's from here. We get just rho here, because k is 1 over rho squared. And then for a full circle, s is 2 pi rho. We go the whole circle, and then that's zero. So we had homogeneous magnetic field. And we start from one point, go around, come to the same point. And if we have a particle that has larger momentum, it goes around a bigger circle, but anyway comes to the same point. But what about a half a circle? So then it's a maximum. So the particle we have first this smaller circle, and then this bigger circle, and the distance from the smaller circle is maximum after half a circle. Half a turn. So then it's pi rho is the S, and putting that in, we get dispersion is 2 rho. Delta P up and P 2 means that P is 2 times P 0. And rho is proportional to, the bending radius is proportional to the momentum as it should be. Quite simple. And then magnet types. A synchrotron magnet is a very, very general one, but nowadays not very, very much used because it's not so flexible in a way. this bending, 1 over rho term, which gives weak focusing, 1 over rho squared, and strong focusing from the quadrupole component. So it's sort of part of this kind of poles. We have hyperbolic poles here. Actually, this kind of poles we have effectively in the quadrupole magnet, so there's no magnetic field here. And when we go further away, and then the magnetic field increases. So if the beam goes here, then it's bent by the by the dipole field, but there's a gradient here as well, so it adds more focusing there. So this can be, yeah. This can be, so as I said, considered as a part of a quadrupole magnet. And the dipole field here is just this distance times the gradient of the magnetic field. So Kx is the gradient times x, and then here we normalize it with this p over q, so q over p here in front. And this kx is minus rho x when we calculate it. And this is the characteristic distance. But as I said, these are not commonly used anymore. Typically, there are different magnets for bending where the magnetic field is homogeneous, and then between the bending magnets there are strong quadrupoles, and the quadrupoles can be, their strength can be adjusted, but here it's fixed because it's, the magnetic field is fixed because it has to bend the beam always the same amount, and the quadrupole component cannot be changed independently. And now to the quadrupole magnet, it's like this here. So we have here the beam, and we have here the poles, and on the axis there is no magnetic field. So we have north-south poles here. And when we come to a distance x here, then the bending field is the distance x times the gradient. And this gives the pole shape. X times z is 1/2 r0 squared. So r0 is this distance from the center to the pole, so this distance. And the gradient is the sum of these two derivatives. So at the fixed distance from the center, when we go around, then then the magnetic field, so if we take it from here, so the magnetic field is square root of bz squared plus bx squared, putting these in, so then we just get g times r, gradient times radius. So the magnetic field is constant, but its direction rotates outwards, inwards. And here the magnetic field is pointing upwards, which means that a particle being on a positive x here, it feels a force that is pointing outwards. So this is defocusing in x direction, but here on on this z-axis, the force is pointing downwards and here upwards. So it's focusing in one direction and defocusing in the other. And if we change the polarities, then it is the other way around. The transformation matrices. Now we have the phi is the length times the square root of k, and we have here the absolute value. If you use absolute value, then for this defocusing direction, as we had here, so we had the magnetic field to the z direction here, and a positive gradient for the x direction, and negative for the other. Then we have hyperbolic cosines here and hyperbolic sines here, and L over phi and phi over L. And for the focusing direction, we have cosine phi here, sine phi here, and L over phi over L minus phi over L here. So these are the transformation matrices for quarter pole magnets. So for positive k, it's horizontally defocusing and vertically focusing, and for negative k, it's horizontally focusing and vertically defocusing. If you had a different coordinate system like x, y, z, then the signs would change. So and now here we would be moving to z direction, and x would be to the left. We had on the right. And drift space, both 1 over rho and k are 0, which means that there is no magnet. And then just get this 1 L 0 1 and no dispersion. There's no bending, it will not introduce any dispersion. And a sector magnet. So we have a homogeneous magnetic field, so that the entry and exit, they are perpendicular to the beam, like this. So we start, for example, from here. The beam comes in here and starts to be bent, and no matter whether it's a bit left or right, all the particles will start bending at the same S. And the transformation matrices are, so the k is just 1 over rho squared, which says that the phi is L times square root of k becomes L over rho. And then in x direction we have cosine phi is here, and sine phi is here, and rho here, 1 over rho here, minus 1 over rho here, and then the dispersion parts, as we have seen before. But for z direction, it acts as a drift space. So a sector magnet focuses in the bending plane, but does nothing for the beam in the other plane, so in the axial plane, z direction. It acts as as a drift space. And horizontally, this acts as a quarter ball with a focusing strength 1 over rho squared. Now, something about edge focusing. So if we change the angle here, so here what we look at the angle between the particle beam and the normal of the surface here. We define that as epsilon. It's not this angle here. The normal is pointing down here, and then epsilon is zero. Okay, now we come from the right. And we have particle one, which is our reference particle, comes to this point. And particle number two is going a bit out, and at the same S, it's here. When this particle two travels this distance delta S, then it goes straight ahead, but the particle one is bent, so that this angle is delta S divided by the bending radius rho. And now this is our reference orbit. So we can look at the angle change with respect to this orbit. So seen from this orbit, the particle two gets a kick outwards with respect to this particle here. And then from here we can using this angle epsilon here, this delta phi is delta S over rho or delta X times tangent epsilon divided by rho. So dou X prime dou X is tangent epsilon divided by rho. So how much what's the change in angle? And the focal length of this effective length here is delta X over delta phi. That is, this comes just from the geometry, how focal length is defined, and then in this case it's rho over tangent epsilon. And this epsilon here, we say that this is positive, so that the normal is pointing outwards from the preference orbit, and it is defocusing here in this case because the particle two is going outwards with respect to particle one, which was our reference particle. So summa summarum, if epsilon is positive, the edge defocuses in X direction but focuses in Z direction. And this can be compared with a quarter ball where the field decreases with X. And we here need Maxwell's equation to help a bit to get the Z direction, which is focusing. And if you have a hard edge model, so that the magnetic field starts abruptly from zero to B and ends from B to zero at no distance, then it's hard edge model, and we have the same focal lengths in X and Z direction, just so that it's defocusing in the other and focusing in the other. Now let's take a special case of angle. A symmetric dipole. And then we have the transymmetric, so that we come to the magnet, and then we have transymmetrics of the edge, and then after the edge we have this y1, and then we have the dipole field, the sector magnet, which has transymmetrics M2, which brings us to the other edge, and then this is transformed again with the same edge focusing transymmetrics in M1. And now putting all this together, we see that we can get the total transymmetrics by multiplying all these transymmetrices, edge, sector, and edge, so that the element that acts on the beam first, its transymmetrics becomes comes to the right-hand position here, and we are going this way. So this operates first, then this, and then this. Okay, in x direction, this is the edge focusing transymmetrics. It's a short lens, and here we have minus 1 over f, the focal length. So we have tangent epsilon divided by rho. And then we have the sector magnet, and again here, the edge focusing transymmetrics. And multiplying these matrices all together, we could get this solution here. And dispersion becomes this. So the first edge doesn't change dispersion. So the beam is not shifted here anywhere due to different momentum. It just follows this trajectory here. Only here, after this point, where we have the dipole field, the higher momentum is drifting outwards because it has larger bending radius. So we just have now the matrix for the transymmetrics for the dispersion, dd prime, and then the transymmetrics for the edge, and this is the result. Correspondingly, in z direction, now here gap is roughly zero, and then we have the edge focusing here, and then the sector magnet acts as a drift to a z direction, and multiplying these together, we get this result. And we have a special case putting epsilon as phi over 2. This, by the way, says shows a more realistic case, so where we have a gap here, and so that if you approximate that the field drops linearly from maximum to zero in the distance b, then we have something that depends on b here, but it is a small detail. And now putting here epsilon equals to phi over 2. So we have a rectangular magnet. Usually they are, so the edges ingoing and outgoing edges, they are parallel to each other. And usually this we have when we have a laminated dipole. So the magnetic pole consists of very thin iron sheets. And putting this angle in, epsilon equals to 5/2. Then in x direction, we have this here, and here the focal length is infinite. So this element here is -1/ focal length. And this is zero, so focal length is infinite. So there is no focusing anymore. And then now assuming that this phi is small, then for z we get this result here, and this acts as a quadrupole magnet now. So in the sector magnet, we had focusing only in x direction, and in z direction it acted as a drift, so this was zero. And the other extreme, so to say, not really extreme, but in focusing way, then for laminated or rectangular magnet, then we have lost all the focusing here. The dipole, so that it was so much defocusing that it cancels the focusing of the dipole field, and we moved the focusing strength from the horizontal plane to vertical plane, going from vector magnet to a a rectangular magnet, and these are some triangular. The trigonometric formula to handle this 5/2 here. And we did this we already actually went through. So piecewise solution using magnetic formalism, like we did it now using the edge, dipole magnet and edge. So transfer line or an accelerator, they can be divided into pieces whose transfer matrices are known, like drift and quadrupole magnet, dipole magnet, no matter whether it has some angles or not in the exit and entrance, and the total solution, so the overall transformation matrix from the beginning of the optical system to the end can be obtained from initial conditions and the transfer matrices, so that the final transfer matrix is a product of the matrices of the known elements, and multiplying order is important. Again here, as we just saw, we come from the left now. This is point zero. We have one optical element, whatever it is, transforms the system from 0 to 1, and then another optical element whose transformation we know, we can transform the y and y primes from here to here. So from 0 to 2, we have transfer matrix M02, so that here we have the y prime at 0, and here we have y prime at 2. But what is transfer matrix from 0 to 2? We know transfer matrices 0 to 1 and 1 to 2, and we know y prime at 0. So y prime 2 is m12 of times y prime 1. So we go from point 1 to point 2, and this y prime 1 we get from y prime 0 using this M01, and then we see that y prime 2 is y prime 0, and in front of it we have, starting from the right, the first acting element, its transfer matrix, and then the second, and so forth and so forth and so forth, if we have several other elements. And typically in optical systems, it's so that in each element, the focusing strength is constant. It varies along the optical system, but it's piecewise constant. And when it's constant, then our equation is just the harmonic oscillator. But if it varies smoothly, then it, or yeah, it doesn't matter how smoothly or piecewise it varies, then totally it's the Hill's equation, because the focusing strength depends on position. So multiplying order, first element rightmost and last element leftmost. And usually the transfer matrix of single elements are known. They have been calculated or we take them from some tables. And most computer codes use matrix formalism, like classical transport, turtle, AGS, MAT, just name it. And here we have used just the linear transfer matrices. And of course, it can happen that the focusing strength depends on the amplitude, like if you have higher order poles than the bottom poles. And then we must use higher order transfer matrices. But normally, we can just handle it with the linear optics. And here, let's have a break and continue after this doublet a bit later.